Good evening, church. Welcome to Life Church prayer meeting today. And let's commit this time to God in prayer. Father God, we want to thank you, Father, and we want to praise you, Lord. We want to give you glory and honor to you, God. We want to thank you, truly thank you, Father, and praise you for this time that you've given us. We want to thank you, Father, for bringing us together, Lord, as a family, Lord. And I pray today, Father, that your grace, your mercy will be upon each one of us, O God. And even as we hear your word, even as we meditate on your word, O God, I pray that you will speak, Lord, and you will talk to us, O Father God. Commit this time to you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, church, my message, the title today will be Calling on the Name of the Lord. And the passage is taken from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 26. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 26. So I'll read the passage here. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, would you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opens its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today, you are driving me from the land, and I'll be hidden from your presence. I'll be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of northeast of Eden. Cain made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mehujael, and Mehujael was the father of Methushael, and Methushael was the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women, one named Adah and the other Zillah. Adah gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who lived in tents and raised livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who played stringed instruments and pipes. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Nama. Lamech said to his wives, "Adah and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I've killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times." Adam made love to his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, "God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him." Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. So at church at home, we have been teaching Briella to say her prayers before every meal. And we have been telling her on the importance of not wasting any food. And so a few days back, what happened after saying her grace, before the meal, I told her this, Briella, don't waste any food because there are many children outside there without any food. So since God provided you food, be grateful. Say your prayers and eat your food. Do not waste them. She looked at me straight and said, what? The children outside there got no food? Apart then, let's go buy food for every child and feed them. As much as I'm amazed at the overconfidence on me, I know I'll never be able to do that. In fact, I believe that no one can actually do this except God. But the statement on that day made me to think something, the actual issue that we're facing. A lot of issues and problems around us today, and we can see how broken the world we live in is. Sin caused so much of chaos around us, and the effect is so much deeper than what we think it is. As we read in Genesis chapter 3, how sin entered, we can see how sin entered the world and how a pure and holy relationship between God and man were broken. Then when we reflect the passage for today's reading, Genesis chapter 4, we can see the increasing grip of sin on human race and the deepening effect of sin in and around us. See the first, Genesis chapter 4, the first five verses that we read. There are two main characters mentioned here. One is Cain and the other one is Abel. So both were not worshipping idols and they didn't build altars for any foreign gods. They both knew who God is and they certainly know what God is asking them to do. They know God. And the offerings brought by Abel and Cain were different. And it speaks a lot on the condition of their hearts too. So as we reflect on this passage, let's run through some of the main points. Some of the Bible commentaries speaks on the difference in the offering brought by the two of them, animal and plant offering, which could have factored in God looking in favor of Abel and his offering. However, then we are not sure of this as there's no clear scripture pointing to support the statement. But in verse 3, it says, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. It may hint that Cain brought whatever that was close at hand and was not sincere in bringing the best offering for the Lord. Well, we can read in verse 4, it says that and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. It shows how Abel was careful in selecting and choosing the best portion for the Lord as an offering. So both came before God, but Abel was careful and very selective in choosing the best portion for the Lord. So God's favor of Abel's offering may have been the result of the heart's intention. Abel's offering shows how much he loves God and how much he prioritized his relationship with God. His offering came with a sincere devotion to God and was offered with faith. We can read this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. It says that by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commanded as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. And on the other hand, Cain was not sincere in his giving and he was not there was no careful attention paid given to what was offered to God, indicating a lack of respect and devotion to God. See, sacrifice, church, is only acceptable by God if it is perfect. We can read this in Leviticus chapter 22, verse 20 and 21. It says, do not bring anything with a defect because it will not be accepted on your behalf. When anyone brings from the herd or flock a fellowship offering to the Lord, to fulfill a special vow or as a freewill offering, it must be without defect or blemish to be acceptable. So there have always been two sorts of worshippers, such as Cain and Abel, the two types of worshippers that we can see. One is proud, despisers of the ways of God, who attempt to please God in ways of their own devising. They devise their own way to please God. And on the other hand, we can see humble believers who draw near to God in faith and reverence, just like what Abel did. So, but it is God who determines what is acceptable worship, and it's never for us to determine that. So I want to share a story about a businessman. So once I read a story about a Christian businessman in a far country he's quite successful in his business and he's very busy. But ever since his business picked up well, he stopped attending church. He had little to no time for his family and church. He became too focused on getting profits. When his church pastor once decided to visit him, okay, because he has not been coming to church. So when his church pastor once visited him, this businessman told his pastor this, it's okay if I don't come to church or don't have regular devotion time with God. I'm still sending my tithing to church and offering on a monthly basis to the church. That is sufficient for the Lord. So we can see how this businessman was only interested in accumulating wealth. And when he had wealth, he thought he can actually determine what Christian devotion entails. So we can see in the first few verses that we read, Cain could have sorted things out with God directly, but the pride and arrogance in him led his anger to burst against Abel. We can read this in Genesis chapter 4, verses 5 to 7. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, would you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." So despite of Cain's lack of faith and insincerity in offering, God didn't just blame Cain or just cast him away from his presence. God didn't do that. But instead, what God did was God actually pulled Cain and counseled him. See, God understood Cain's disappointment and anger. But God also encouraged him to overcome his sinful heart. And that's how it is, like God's nature, right? His loving nature. God knows what was in Cain's heart, and God started to confront him in a loving manner. And Cain was harboring discontent and rebellion against God. And it doesn't go unnoticed by God. It's the same with us, church. Sometimes we think that when we come before God like Cain, we can put a mask, or we can actually hide things and think that God doesn't notice what is actually deep within us. But God sees everything. And we can see here how God was trying to help Cain to set things right. Now God was asking, like, why are you angry? And why are you angry with your brother Abel? You know, if you do what is right, would you not be accepted? And God was asking, if you do what is right, would you not be accepted? So this is not about Abel, but it is about your action. If you do what the right thing is, and you will be accepted. So God is asking him to sort things out and everything will be well. So Cain now had a choice. He can either pursue what is right, which is to sort things out with God, or let his jealousy and anger towards Abel to flare up. So verse 7, we can read this. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Again, God was warning Cain and saying that, to take hold of his emotions. This has nothing to do with Abel, but this has all to do with Cain setting things right with God. A few years ago, someone I knew passed away tragically a few years back. It was a young girl whom I know. The whole family was devastated because this girl was very young. While I was in the funeral, I saw a group of people entering the house. I'm not sure who they are, but they were looking for the girl's father. Of course, they wanted to donate some cash to the mother, and so they passed the money to the mother. While they passed the cash, they insisted someone to take a photo of them donating the cash to the mother in the house during the funeral itself. So we can see how the pride to put on a display, the act of charity, this person has consumed this person so much that they fail to see the tragedy the family is actually facing. We read in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 to 10, it says that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. It's just like what I shared earlier. God sees everything, including the sin, evil thoughts, wrong motives, wrong emotions, which are hidden deep within us. Nothing escapes his sight. And so when we come before God, everything is naked before Him. He sees everything. But in all this, doesn't matter how our sin can be so great, but church, His grace is always greater. God still offers His grace and will help us to get things right with Him. Exactly like what He did with Cain. He started the council. And all that Cain needed to do was to turn back and revert his way back to God. So I'll read this portion from verse 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done?" He said, "Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opens his mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield his crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I'll be hidden from your presence. I'll be a restless wanderer on earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of northeast of Eden. Cain made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Merujael. Merujael was the father of Methushael, and Methushael was the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women, one named Ada and the other Zillah. Ada gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play string instruments and pipes. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. And here Lamech said to his wives, "Ada and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, you hear my words. I've killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times." See, Cain allowed his anger to consume him, and he killed his own brother Abel, a younger brother whom he should have protected. He killed his brother and treated the Lord with disdain, saying that, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And if you look carefully in chapter 3, in Genesis chapter 3, when God confronted Adam and Eve after they ate the fruit from the forbidden tree, they didn't deny it nor try to hide it. They confessed it. We can see this in Genesis chapter 3, verses 11 to 13. They confessed it. However, here, Cain lies to God outright, denying any knowledge of his brother's whereabouts. So Cain is portrayed as a more hardened sinner than Adam. Killing one's brother is more wicked than eating the forbidden fruit. So we see like the actions. I put up a table here. So God confronted the sin to Adam. Adam and Eve, they admitted their sins. But to Cain, he denied the action. And when God passed the judgment because of their sin, Adam accepted in silence. But for Cain, he protested fiercely. He protested. He didn't agree. He was going against God. So when God confronted and counseled Cain, instead of accepting God's word and obeying them, he became even more hardened in his heart. Correction from God quickly turned into anger towards God. And his anger towards God was then transferred into jealousy towards Abel, which later turned to hatred and finally resulted in him murdering his own brother. So, church, let's pause for a while and let's ask ourselves, has God been correcting us or speaking to us lately on something, on any areas that He wants us to actually put things right? This is where we come before God. He might be speaking to us through a book that we read, maybe a devotion, a prayer time, a sermon, conversations with people. Has God been speaking something to us? Just like how lovingly He came to Cain and spoke to Cain and counseled him. Has God been speaking something to us? How are we responding to God? And another part is like, do we react in anger and jealousy when someone else's gifts or talents were preferred than ours? See, being jealous means we have a sense of being envious of someone with something which we don't have or we don't possess. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans?" So jealousy is not a characteristic of a Christian. Rather, it shows we are still being worldly. It is a characteristic of a self-centered Christian. In verse 11, God made it clear that Cain is under a curse and driven from the ground. We can see what an unrepentant sin can do to someone. If we keep this hidden sin with us, within us, unrepentant, we want to turn back to God. In this case, Cain was filled with pride and arrogance, jealousy and violence. He didn't care what the Lord said and had no regard for the Lord and his family. See, such wickedness was driven from the presence of God. Cain's whole existence is out of alignment now. The restlessness of Cain is a vivid picture of a life lived outside the presence of God. So imagine what Cain would have still enjoyed had he repented and followed God's counsel earlier. Let's say earlier with itself, if he found contentment in God and worshipped him sincerely, he definitely would not have lost the presence of God. He would still be enjoying the presence of God. But because he disregarded what God was telling him, he lost everything. And of course, in verse 17, we can see later Cain did become successful because it says that he built city and family. But nowhere in the scripture it stated that any of this cured his restlessness, and he didn't find peace anywhere else. So this is when people built a civilization that excluded the one true living God and replaced him with idolatry. And this trend would later lead to judgment through water. We can read this in chapter 6, Noah's story. So church, what a dreadful ending to someone whose heart is so hardened in sin and being so rebellious towards God. The next few verses were highlighting on Cain's descendants. We read that earlier, and we begin to see sin's further grip on mankind. The highlight was upon Lamech, who is portrayed as a slave to passion, as he married two wives, Ada and Zillah. But more significant is Lamech's bloodthirsty lust for 77-fold vengeance, which shows he disregarded justice completely, and he will just kill anyone who got on his way. Seven times for Cain is the number of perfection and completion, but 70 times is just a vengeance without any boundaries. So Lamech was just going without any boundaries here, killing everybody that comes on his way. We can see how sin can take a very, very deep root in a family or a descendant. I have seen this personally in some of the families, where the very evil thing the parents do can be seen in the children's life as well. The same pattern of habits, that same sin, that same traditions, which further hardens the heart and keeps them away from the presence of God. It just roots out to the children and to the next generation. Church, so let's not be callous in our walk with God today. Let's seek to have a humble heart that turns to God in repentance. And finally, the last two verses, verse 25, it says that Adam made love to his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, "God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him." Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. This was a time where people knew the name of the Lord. As much as sin grips human race and the consequences from it spreads, we can see here people can be divided into two basic categories. One is they didn't know God, and the other called upon God by his name. With Cain's descendants becoming wicked and refusing to obey God, on the other hand, Seth rose and began calling on the name of God. So to call on the name of the Lord means to leave our wicked ways behind and return to our Creator. It means to lift God's name in thanksgiving and worship and trusting as our Lord and Savior. Church, even in our world today, we can see wickedness grows and sinfulness is displayed in many different manners. We see how many are consumed with pride, arrogance, and so much of sin, and it consumes them, and they refuse to set things right before God. We can see how some have forsaken the name of the Lord, just like what Cain did, or some may invoke the name of the Lord out of pride, like what Lamech did. And when God is not in the picture, people can become so wicked and can quickly spiral downwards. We can see this in our workplaces, the community that we live in, and so forth, the families and so forth, how so many brokenness and bad things happen around us. Wickedness just prospers and bad things keep happening around us. And in church, with so many evil and wickedness prospering around us, I tell you, it's not easy for us to call upon the name of the Lord. Like what God promised us in Psalms 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He is near. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So church, no matter where we are today, what we are facing, what season we are going through, what is happening around us, I believe what God is asking us to do now is to call on His name. It's for us to rise, stand, and call upon His name. And when we call upon His name, He will be near. And He has promised that He will save us. He's not going to just leave us alone, and He will save us. Amen. So church, we will go into a time of prayer. I put in a few prayer items here. And as the Spirit leads, I want to encourage you to pick any one of these points and feel free to pray. And if God is actually putting some other points in your heart, feel free to pray. Allow the Spirit of God to lead you into a time of prayer. Let's pray.
Come and behold Him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God.
Father, we come before You, God. We want to worship You, God, for who You are. We can see, Lord, how wickedness prospers around us, oh God. We can see how, God, Your own children, oh God, very own people, oh God, their hearts have turned away, oh God, and many, oh God, have started to follow the worldly ways, oh God. But today, Father, we want to come before You, oh God. We are so grateful, God, that despite of many of our unfaithfulness, oh God, You have counseled us, oh God. You have reached out to us with love, oh God. You have poured Your grace upon us, oh God, and You have constantly, oh God, pulled us back, Lord. And we want to thank You, Father God. We want to thank You, Father, for the work of the Spirit in us, oh God, convicting us, oh God, speaking to us, oh God, allowing us to come and offer, oh God, worship You, oh God, in spirit and in truth, oh God. Today, Father, we pray for our hearts to be open before You, oh God. We want to be right before You, O God. We want to worship You in spirit and in truth, O God. Father, I pray that You will open our hearts, O God. Go deep, Lord, and see if there's any wicked ways in us, O God. And I pray, O God, that You will lead us into repentance, O God. You will bring us back, us, O God, to come back to You in a very, very humble and pure way, O Father God. And Father, I pray, O God, that no matter where we are right now, God, what is happening around us, O God, in our workplace, O God, in the community that we are working in, O God, ministries, O God, families, O God, our own relationships, O God. Sometimes, O God, it's very easy for us to be discouraged, O God, to see what's happening a lot around us, O God. That cruelty, O God, wickedness, O God, and brokenness around us, O God. But Father, I pray that these things will never stop us from calling upon you, O God, as you have called us, O God, to be your children, called us to be your people, O God. I pray, O God, that this season, O God, this will be the season for us to rise, O God, and call upon you, O God. And I pray, O God, that those who call upon your name, O God, you will come near, O God, and you will lead us, O God, and you will use us, O Father God. I commit this time to you, O God. Jesus' name I pray, Father.
Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you. We continue to uphold this nation into your hands. We pray, Lord, for peace, for unity. Pray for your wisdom, Lord, upon this new government. We pray, Lord, that you would bring justice and mercy and compassion, that there would be good governance, Lord, and that through this, doors will be open, Lord, for your people to come to you, dear Lord. We pray also for all of us that we will continue, Lord, to pursue that call to lead wherever we are in the marketplace at home, that we will illustrate your goodness, Lord, in the ways that matter. We pray, Lord, that we will understand who is our neighbor, and show that love and concern and compassion, Lord, to those who are broken, whom you bring to our path, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we pray that we'll continue to press on to care, Lord, trusting in your abundant resources, and your love will fill our hearts, dear God. And this love will be a testimony to who you are, to your presence within our lives, dear God. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for being with the church, and we again commit this church into your hands. You are the shepherd. You are the head of this church. And we pray for a growing sensitivity to your presence. We pray that you continue to fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, even as we pray on Wednesdays and as we meet on Sundays, Lord, as a corporate body. We pray that we will all understand the direction, the places that you are leading us. We pray that all of us rely on you, Lord, to help build each other, that your Spirit, Lord, is upon us in this call. And wherever we are serving, Lord, in all the ministries, in all the fellowship, let us be mindful of the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit to minister, to teach, to nurture, to bless, to care, dear God. Dear Lord, we pray that even as you have brought families and people from different nations, that we will be sensitive and compassionate, Lord, to the needs and to the predicament, Lord, of these people, that we will care for them with wisdom and understand them, Lord, Father, with grace and your goodness, dear Lord. Father, we just want to thank you for the diversity, that the fact, Lord, that you're bringing people from different backgrounds, and we pray that we will truly experience the unity that comes from you, from your kingdom, from your name, dear Lord. We also pray for those who are struggling in your faith, or are going through difficult times at work or at home. We pray for your grace to sustain them, dear Lord. We pray that they will not give up hope, or they will not be cynical or fall into temptation, dear Lord. But we pray that everyone will just press on, that they will trust you, Lord, and that you would bring deliverance, that you would show them the answer, that you would give them the guidance and the wisdom that they are seeking you, Lord, for. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Continue to preserve this church. Shape this church for your name, dear Lord, for your glory, for your goodness. We pray, Lord Father, that your name will be exalted in all things, in all ways. We thank you, dear Lord, that we can come together and hear your word and pray. And we pray that you continue to bless, Lord, this time of prayer, that we will grow in our understanding and learn, Lord, how to call upon your name and seek your face. We give you all glory and honor. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.